Full Ways and Means will come to order. Several things on the agenda. There's another committee that's going to start pretty soon. We'd like to keep it as brief as possible, allowing, of course, for full and active discussion on all items. First thing on the agenda is Senate Bill 5526. Senator Meeker.
Mr. Chairman, this is the budget bill for the Physical Therapist Licensing Board. When we began on this budget, members of the Physical Therapy Association brought concerns regarding the board's staffing and responsiveness to their needs. At that time, the governor's budget contained staffing for two part-time positions, a clerical position and executive secretary. The secretary position was held by a private attorney and supplemented by additional personal service funds within the budget. Board operations were also conducted from the attorney's office. Members of the association complained about this routine and the difficulty of getting information, so we had some changes to make. The committee requested that the board review this budget with the executive division and bring back a revised budget addressing all those issues that were raised. The revised budget provides one full-time executive secretary at a level recommended by personnel, and additional funding for items such as rent required for an independent office. The budget provides for a recent cost increase in the national exam service and revises both expenditures and revenues to more accurately reflect the number of examinations anticipated. The budget is intact with no fee increases required and provides for an adequate ending balance. So, as a result, Mr. Chairman, the problems raised during the hearings were resolved by the subcommittee, and we believe that the information will be much more readily available to those people that are licensed.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions concerning this?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Representative Cherry.
I was on this committee for, I can't remember, 6 or 8 years, whatever, two terms is it? And at the time I went off of 3 or 4 months ago, everything was peaches and cream, as nearly as I know. And the attorney that set this up, I think, did an excellent job. And this ran very, very well until at least 6 months ago. I'm a little bit surprised that everything went to pot, as I'm led to believe here.
Is there any further discussion?
Dr. Cherry, were you finished?
I'm still reeling from what I didn't know was happening about 5 minutes ago.
Is that a question?
No, I'm sure. I just threw my
head. Oh, okay.
Are we on physical therapists? Yeah.
I didn't know it was a question. I'm sorry.
Would you like to respond to the concern raised by Representative Cherry?
Could you restate the question, Howard? I didn't understand.
I did not ask the question.
Oh.
I did state that I was a non-voting member of this group for two terms. I don't know whether 6 years or 8 years. It's quite a while. And I was very much impressed by the good job they were doing and that they were meeting the people and that the attorney knew what he was doing and he set it up well. And I've been off for 6 months or so. It's hard to believe that everything just went to pot all at once, but it seems to be true.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll respond even though it isn't a question. It wasn't my impression that there was any complaints from the board, because many members of the board were not aware of some of the problems that were being created. We were approached by members of the Physical Therapy Association, and some of the information that they were getting out of the board and the lack of response. For example, when a telephone rang, the answer was a number, you know, like 228-1654. And they'd request some information, and it may be days before they had a response. And part of the problem was that the business of the office was being conducted in a an office that was a law firm and had other things to do that came before the board as far as priority is concerned. And the board worked out these changes and presented the alternative through the executive branch. We felt it was much more responsive in that the a lawyer is proposed in the new budget that you're going to have a state person running this board rather than a legal officer or, you know, a lawyer that had other things to do. It seemed to the committee anyway, a much more responsive way of dealing with the licensing function of this board.
Is there any further discussion?
If not, Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Fadley.
Aye.
Representatives Katz.
Aye. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't hear your vote. Cherry.
Cherry is no.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Rebel.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. Senate Bill 5526 will report to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 131. Senator Ripper, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As amended, this bill has two major thrusts. The first relates to the transfer of the administrative responsibilities of the Liability Fund from the Department of Justice to the Department of General Services. The second major area of statute changes will occur with the Restoration Fund. With respect to the Liability Fund, the bill provides for the administration separation of the Liability Fund into two components, one for state agencies and one for local public bodies. The department's authority to purchase insurance or reinsurance for the program is also clarified. The department currently has authority under ORS 278-2.205 to issue certificates to local public bodies for only motor vehicle liability. This measure will permit General Services Authority to issue certificates of liability insurance coverage provided by the state's Tort Liability Fund. Committee amendments to this bill include changes to the statutes providing for in Senate Bill 130 and Senate Bill 129. The committee was of the opinion that since all three bills amended similar statutes and addressed deficiencies in the state's restoration fund, that economies could be realized by combining the bills into one measure. Specific amendments will clarify the role of the Attorney General as it relates to defense action for the state and the Department of General Services case management and insurance administration responsibilities for the new risk management program. Under the amended measure, the state will have specific statutory authority to cover by the restoration fund property being acquired by lease purchase or installment purchase, mortgage, or by lien. The department is also granted authority to establish a deductible for claims made against the restoration fund. The software and media used in the state's data processing are not presently insured against any kind of loss. This measure will permit the state's processing media to be insured through the restoration fund. The bill provides for further statute change to correct coverage and reporting deficiencies associated with the restoration fund and sets a time limit of 3 years on claim adjustments. There was a study made during the last interim by the Clifton and Company to look at our total program, and their recommendations were to set up in the Department of General Services a regular insurance operated type of company, so you could figure out what risks were, to have some kind of risk management, that you could penalize agencies that have an extreme amount of accidents, that there would be some incentive for them to get in and improve their working conditions or their changes, so that we do that. Also, that we could settle our claims in one single department. When with the Attorney General's office, there was some hesitation to start, but they are now in agreement because they've worked out by agreement those types of programs that will have to go to court, and that there will be a follow-through so that they'll be working in tandem. But this really puts us into a full program where we can operate right. Part of our program, in using our restoration fund as an example, is that we don't have enough money in it. We have not really collected right on it, and if we had a major disaster, we would be in trouble. As at the present time, we have co-insurance or insurance beyond a certain amount that we have in the restoration fund. So if we had a something like the penitentiary or something of this nature that was destroyed, you had to rebuild it, that would be able to be taken care of. So this puts it on a real business-like basis. We have people coming into the department that are right out of private enterprise, know how to do it and are excellent. They're very, can't think of his name offhand right now, but I was very much impressed with the type of, or the caliber of people they were bringing in to operate this as a truly responsible program that would take care of our liabilities and our insurance program that we have for the state.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any further discussion?
Any member?
Yes, Senator Roberts.
In the amendments on the first page, why did you provide for exclusion by policy of departments such things as bridges?
Which section is this now?
Well, this is the new section. Oh, it's section 6, sub 9. In the definition of real property, excluded from real property, paving roadways, tunnels, bridges, bike paths, sidewalks, and other related improvements, which may be excluded by policy of the department. What's the significance of those exclusions?
Traditionally, we do not insure those now.
You don't insure a bridge?
No. And not under our liability fund. We did discuss that, and I'm trying to remember there's an actual reason for it. Can you remember what the reason why we don't insure those at the present time?
Cost, I believe, one of the major factors, the cost of disinsurance, all of the state's tunnels, bridges.
Yeah, I forget how many thousand there were.
Would this be to exclude the bridges as a class, Mr. Chairman, or would it be specific structures?
I would think that this meant as a class. I would presume that specific structures, such as the Markham Street Bridge or something like that, you might want to insure separately, and probably would. But when you talk about bridges, you talk about every little viaduct, every little...
Well, when you talk about buildings, you talk about every little building, don't you?
Yes, you do. But not in the same...
Is there further discussion?
I haven't answered it very well, but I'll get you the correct...
Senator Ripper, yes. We're finished.
Yes, I'm finished, yes.
Thank you. Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Thompson.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Fadley.
Aye.
Representatives Katz.
Aye.
Cherry. Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Riebel.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. Senate Bill 131 will report to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. And before I forget, should the records note that Senator Thorne and Senator Burbidge have been excused. Senate Bill 137, Senator Ripper, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As amended, Senate Bill 137 combines four of the department's funds into one operating account titled the General Services Operating Account. The intent of the bill is to reduce the number of accounts currently in use by the agency to a more manageable number of accounts. General service requirements for cash accounts include the need for a regular revolving fund to meet normal obligations of the department. The creation of the General Service Operating Account will allow this flexibility within the administration of the department's business. In addition, it was the opinion of the committee that the agency would be able to streamline their accounts and avoid continued lost time spent in transferring funds between accounts, making reconciliations of each account and other labor associated with the existing section of towns. Finally, the committee amended the bill to retain the distinction between the construction account for the Oregon State Fair and the Exposition Center and the capital projects account. The amendment will assure that the State Fair retain its unique and separate nature as intended by the legislature in providing the fair with a self-sustaining budget for the 1981-83 biennium. As a housekeeping measure, Senate Bill 137 may provide some negligible administrative savings, permitting the department to concentrate on improving the quality of their overall accounting policies. Furthermore, it is the opinion of the committee that the intent of the existing law ORS 283, which calls for adequate accounting for payments made from specific accounts, will not be altered in this bill. It just combines them. They will still be charged off to the separate accounts, but it makes the bookkeeping process much easier. There will be some small savings in it, but namely frustration is probably the biggest factor that it resolves.
Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 137? If not, Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Fagley.
Aye.
Representatives Katz.
Aye.
Cherry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Riebel.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. Senate Bill 137 will report to the Senate with a due pass recommended. Senate Bill 901. Senator Meeker, please.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 901 is a very simple bill. It deletes three words and replaces it with one. It changes the time in which inspections of massage establishments is made by the board from once a year to biannually. The budget that was developed by the subcommittee and passed by the legislature has this concept built into it. It reduces the cost to the board by $1,100. It does allow the bill, in the language as it's currently written in the law, allows the board to make inspections at any time they wish to make an inspection upon a complaint. But the regular inspection program will be biannually instead of annually.
Thank you very much. Is there any further discussion? If not, Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Fagley.
Aye.
Senator, Representatives Katz.
Aye.
Cherry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Riebel.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. Senate Bill 901 will pass to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Other items, federal grant applications. Representative Simpson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This federal grant application, Mr. Chairman, made by the Department of State Police, and the request is as follows. Authority to apply for $355,239 of federal funds to continue the aircraft enforcement program. The subcommittee, Mr. Chairman, recommends denial of this request. Two federally funded programs included in the governor's recommended state police budget were reviewed by the subcommittee April the 13th. These involved grants from the Traffic Safety Commission. One was to allow continuation of the aircraft enforcement program, and the other to purchase motorcycles for patrol. The grant money available for the aircraft program totaled $355,239, which was for the first year of the biennium only. Federal funds are not available for enforcement of the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit for the second year, and general funds were recommended by the governor. Since the limited federal funds could be used by any enforcement agency for 55-mile-an-hour enforcement, the subcommittee recognized the benefit to local government should they redirect these funds, even though only one-year funding would be available. This additional money could provide counties with very tight budgets themselves enough funds to purchase capital equipment or increase patrols. A side effect of this 55-mile-an-hour enforcement effort on the local level would be a general reduction in crime, since visibility of police, even though traffic patrol only, has been shown to have a positive effect in deterring other types of criminal activity. The subcommittee took action to deny the state police request to apply for the funds so that federal funds could and would be available to local government. The subcommittee further intends to remove the limitation and the aircraft program from the state police budget. The locals should request the funds from the Traffic Safety Commission. In addition, the subcommittee will recommend the airplane be sold and denial of the expenditure authority to purchase the motorcycles. This money would also be available through traffic safety for disbursement to local government upon approval of a grant application. By eliminating the aircraft program from the state police budget, $355,239 of general funds, which has been included for funding of the second year of the program, can be used for other purposes. And Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee did recommend the denial of this request.
Thank you, Representative Simpson. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I have a question. It's my recollection when we discussed this that the suggestion was made that if the local bodies did not apply for the entire amount, that the state police could then apply for some part. Was that passed, or is that part of it?
That was discussed, Representative Cherry, and I think that the committee heard the answer to perhaps a similar question, that if the local units of government did not make the request and the requests were not granted, that perhaps the state police could reapply. That is the answer to the question. However, Representative Cherry, it is felt through the testimony that we had in our subcommittee that these dollars through the Traffic Safety Commission would be used up rather rapidly by the units of local government. So we wouldn't perceive that this might happen. However, I think that you're correct in saying that was discussed.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion by any member of the committee?
10 or 12 positions.
Rick, would you call the roll, please?
Would you motion to deny?
Yes, motion is to deny.
Senators Pott.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
No.
Roberts.
No.
Gardner.
Aye.
Fabley.
No.
Representatives Katz.
Aye.
Cherry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Riebel.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye.
11 ayes.
The grant application has been denied. Rick, would you bring us a report from the Policy Committee concerning the 3.8 pay?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, at the meeting of the Policy Committee, an action item was brought forward requiring Legislative Review Agency approval of certain statutory salary increases, which were built into Chapter 635 by the 1979 legislature. My memory has it that the reason that the statutory salaries are included with an up-to amount was to make them relatively consistent with the basic OSEA agreement and the agreement for the management service, which had a cost of living adjustment, kinds of cost of living adjustments that were to be approved if inflation behaved at a certain rate. In fact, inflation has behaved at more than the predicted rate, so the cost of living adjustment of 3.8% effective April 1st for the management service, including or the broader elected officials and management service group, appears to be in order.
No, I don't
have. I think that that's the reason why in statute for a very narrow group of officials, elected officials, there's a ceiling stated, and the ceiling was placed in there so that if inflation did allow it, then the salaries could move up.
Thank you very much. Before I open the discussion, there's a statement I would like to read concerning this. Given the continued uncertainty about the revenue production during the current biennium, it makes sense to examine both the potential for removing excess funding from existing appropriations and to identify items previously approved by the legislature which are truly unavoidable or may at least be deferred without injury of programs or services. Ways and Means has begun work on reducing appropriations. Example, Senate Bill 494. An example of the latter is found in the question, what are the possible general fund savings that might be available for subsequent reallocation if we defer action on Schedule 3.8 salary increases for elected officials and members of the management service? Our staff has compiled a few figures which indicate that a general fund cash avoidance of approximately $100,000 could be achieved if the scheduled salary adjustment for elected officials is delayed for the remainder of this biennium. When expanded to include the entire management service group, including legislative and judicial employees, the general fund saving potential grows to $650,000. Mm-hmm. Additional savings of a roughly equal amount would be available if the Board of Higher Education takes actions to delay a 3% salary adjustment presently programmed for academic staff May 1st, 1981. I believe that I speak for every member of this committee when I say that we realize the serious morale problems and horrendous technical payroll problems associated with deferral of a scheduled salary plan adjustment. However, if we finish up this fiscal period in a deficit position, many of the people who feel temporary discomfort may end up in a very much worse permanent condition. The reasonable and prudent course of action suggests that deferral may be in order. It should be remembered that salaries for legislators were scheduled for only two changes during this biennium. The last of those took effect January 81. The only action item before us is approval of the last of the three increases for elected officials. We would need executive department cooperation in order to delay action on management service compensation plan, since those people have been working under a published approved compensation plan since April 1st. It may be that deferral is not legally within reach. Finally, the Board of Higher Education holds the key to academic salaries. Now, we're open for discussion on...
Chairman?
Yes. Representative Chair.
Are we discussing what's before us, or are we discussing this plus a bunch of other items?
We're discussing what is before us, Dr. Cherry.
Discuss. I'd like to comment just on what's before us.
Elected officials.
That this is, according to a formula, that the increase is really not very much, 3.8.
3.8. Correct.
And that I would strongly urge not to defer this.
Okay. Is there further discussion?
I want to ask a question or two. In which budgets, this would be, I'd be asking Mr. Junker, I guess, the question. Welcome back. I hope your trip was nice, but I need to ask you a question. In what budgets generally is the money already available? Is it in the budget to pay the elected officials? Yes, I understand the management service money, which we're not discussing, was released by the emergency board last year and went into the individual agency budgets. The elected officials, you think that money was released at the same time? There would be no demand for any additional funds, but if the money's not spent, would you agree with the estimate that if the money is not spent, it's $650,000 for elected officials? It's less than that for elected officials. I'm sorry, I didn't. How much would then be for the elected officials? About
3 to 4 months. It isn't that much. Can't believe that.
Would you disagree with $100,000 for the elected officials?
For the balance of this buy-in.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what we're discussing.
Between now and July 1st.
Right. Senator Potts?
Mr. Chairman, if it pleases you and the members of the committee, I have a statement that was given to me by the Chief Justice